As we continue following Jesus today, we return to Mark's gospel. This time we find Jesus teaching right at the heart of the community. He's in the synagogue on the Sabbath. In the story, we find a number of firsts. This is the first time we find Jesus in the synagogue. This is the first time we see Jesus teaching. This is the first time we see Jesus performing a miracle. And this is the first miracle as an exorcism of all things. And it won't be the last in Mark's gospel. We'll find three more exorcisms in this shortest of the gospels. In short, we find the start of a major theme in Mark's gospel. Jesus is teaching and healing. The interesting thing as we get into this story is that Mark doesn't actually tell us anything about what Jesus teaches. Instead, Mark shows us what Jesus does and tells us how those gathered respond to him. Though Mark's Greek might not be as eloquent as Matthew and Luke, Mark uses words that get his point across clearly. In this case, he says that the people in the synagogue were astounded by Jesus' teaching. And over again, he uses one of his favorite little words, euthyos, meaning immediately, at once, right away. The journey with Jesus to Jerusalem is an urgent one. And immediately is like this persistent, resounding drumbeat along the way. Immediately we encounter a man with an unclean spirit. We don't know very much about him other than he is possessed by an evil spirit. And while others in Mark's gospel have trouble understanding who Jesus is, the demon doesn't have any trouble at all declaring Jesus as the Holy One of God. Jesus rebukes him immediately, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." And the unclean spirit obeys, but now without the convulsing the man and crying out. As I've been reflecting on our last few weeks together, I'm struck by the way the authority of Jesus and the transformation of those who follow him. Last week, the disciples left everything to follow Jesus. And this week, the demon obeys Jesus. And really, so much of Scripture is story after story of transformation, of lives being changed by an encounter with a God of love. Now let's go ahead and be real. This particular story about casting out demons is a difficult one for our modern ears. As we listen for what word or message there is for us today, we stumble upon this notion of demons, in part because of the way these stories have been used in harmful ways, particularly towards people with mental illness. So let me be clear where sometimes preachers are quite unclear from pulpits like this one. Mental illness is not demon possession. Nor is it an unclean spirit. Mental illness is not something we must conjure out of our bodies or ask God to take away. Mental illness is a reality that many of us face that calls for attention and care, sometimes including medical treatment, sometimes including therapy, sometimes a combination of many things. Given how the stories of demons have been misused, it can leave us wondering if we should just cast this story aside. Call it a different worldview in a different time and just move on. But I think there are some evil spirits, some demons, if you will, in our midst that have a collective hold on us and desperately need to be cast out. We have demons that dehumanize others in order to acquire power and strength, evil spirits that don't take life seriously, that don't care about the humanity of the bodies they are oppressing. Considering our series on Jesus and Dr. King, you won't be surprised that I'll name white supremacy as one of those demons. But there's another one, as close to white supremacy as peanut butter is to jelly. Because as I scan the pages of this country's history, I can pretty much bet that wherever white supremacy and racism are, it won't take long to find sexism close by. The demons of racism and sexism have long been bound up together in a centuries-old story of acquisition, power, exploitation, and dehumanization. Womanist writer Audre Lorde defines racism as the belief in the inherent superiority of one race over all others and thereby the right to dominance. She defines sexism similarly. The belief in the inherent superiority of one's sex and thereby the right to dominance. Inherent superiority, right to dominance, sure sounds like a demon to me. These beliefs, these orderings of our lives based on the notion of inherent superiority are killing us and the oppressed among us disproportionately. It is high time for these demons to be cast out. This morning, I'm going to linger with that second evil spirit, and particularly with the pervasive reality of sexual and gender-based violence. This is a difficult topic. You know the stats. And as your pastor, know that I hold this as closely to my heart as I can when I say that many of you have lived the stats. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men are victims of the demon known as sexual and gender-based violence. This problem became far more real to me while I was living in Greenville, South Carolina. Early on, I participated in a year-long community engagement experience where I learned about various sectors of the community, education, healthcare, religion, law enforcement. And one of the things that I had to do was to spend a night, a late night, on a ride-along with a police officer. I happened to be paired up with a female officer who knew the city like the back of her hand. And during the 4 or so hours that I spent with her, we responded to about 10 calls. All but one of them was for domestic violence. Not too long after that, I began working as a chaplain at the mental health hospital, and I saw all too quickly how pervasive sexual and gender-based violence is. I sat with the lived impact of this violence on people's lives. Many had been abused as children and were still living with the effects of that trauma. A number of times, I sat with women who were living in abusive relationships and doing all that they knew to do to survive. In fact, to decide if they even wanted to survive. I learned how this pervasive, violent trauma affects lives. It's easy to say or to think that abused women should just leave their abusers. But it turns out this is the most dangerous moment for women. It increases their risk of homicide dramatically. So a darn good safety plan is absolutely necessary. Several years ago, the Charleston Post and Courier took an in-depth look at the reality of gender violence in a series called Till Death Do Us Part. South Carolina alone records around 36,000 incidents of domestic violence each year, not to mention the countless ones that go unreported. And the maximum sentence, this was one of the things in the series that really got me, the maximum sentence for the first offense of domestic violence is 30 days. Did you know that you can get up to 5 years in prison for beating a dog? But 30 days for your first offense with an intimate partner. I'm not suggesting prison is the answer. I am suggesting there's a problem in our laws. But talking about my home state doesn't absolve this city or any other. You and I both know that this demon is legion. This demon is global. This demon is as old as time. If we wonder how this could be possible, we don't have to look beyond this week's news, where over 160 women and girls came forward and testified against Larry Nassar, the doctor who was supposed to be taking care of them, but instead was violating them. As I mentioned before, I know that there are people in this room who have faced the violation and the violence of sexual assault and gender-based violence. We, as your pastors, do not take this lightly. We believe you. We want you to know that you are not alone, and you did not do anything to deserve this. We want you to know that we'll not stop working to create safe space here. We want you to know that we can hold and will hold your stories, your lives in confidence, if that is what you need. We also want you to know that we'll help refer you to support that is beyond what we are particularly equipped to counsel. It's so easy to think that the demons of racism and sexism are separate ones, requiring different proclamations and actions to cast them out of our midst once and for all. Maybe so. But when we consider Audre Lorde's definition, it seems like the root cause is profoundly related. The belief that one race is superior, the belief that one sex is superior, and thereby having the right to dominance. As your pastor this morning, I stand before you declare that the belief that anyone presuming their right to dominance is a demon that must be cast out from our midst, it is killing us. And the oppressed among us disproportionately. So where is the good news this morning? This is hard stuff. Where is Jesus casting out demons? What can we learn from this exorcism in Mark's gospel that might give us some hints as to what a collective global exorcism might look like? I think we can glean at least a little wisdom here. Jesus sees the demons for what they are. Evil spirits demonizing, dehumanizing precious human lives. Jesus speaks directly to them and calls them out. Jesus does not pretend that they are not there, or moderate his tone, or try to pass off the evil spirits as wolves in sheep's clothing. Rather, Jesus claims his authority and transforms lives. I wonder what would happen if we acclaimed our authority over these demons too. Just before the prayer this morning, we sang the spiritual. There is a balm in Gilead. The song modifies the lament that comes from the book of Jeremiah about the coming destruction. And the prophet is crying out to God, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored?" Theologian and mystic Howard Thurman says that in this spiritual, we see the genius of the slave, straightening out the curves of the question mark in Jeremiah's sentence and turning that inquisition into an exclamation point. There is a balm in Gilead to make the spirit whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick whole soul. The gospel, beloved community, is filled with stories of transformation, with stories of healing, with stories of restoration to community by those who have been cast aside. There is a balm in Gilead to make the spirit whole. Thanks be to God. Even if we are convulsed as these demons are cast from our midst, may we be healed. May we be set free. May we be made whole. There is a balm in Gilead to make the spirit whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Amen.